All right, everyone, welcome to The Hours. This is a special episode for me. I get to hang with one of my good friends, Travis Usey, who's a high school coach in Louisiana. We go way back, even before our coaching days. But Travis and I were assistant coaches on staff together. And one thing I always admired about Travis, I don't even know if I've ever told you this, but I think your best attribute as a coach, and I'll ask you what you think yours is, I always thought your best attribute as a coach was in-game coaching, like really, really good feel for the game. I'm thinking of a game that we actually talked about recently when we were coaching against each other, and your best player was in foul trouble, and you kept just like getting him in at good times. And I'm like, why don't this guy just sit his best player in foul trouble? So, yeah, I mean, that's something I've always admired about you, and I learned a lot from you when we were working together. What would you say, what do you feel like you're just – as far as head coaching wise, like what's your coaching superpower?
I think, you know, it's a great question. It's tough to answer. I think kind of being an assistant coach for four different coaches, or three different coaches, I'm sorry, that really helped me kind of develop what I wanted to do in my program. I coached first with my uncle, and I thought he was a great in-game coach. So I got a good feel for the game as it was going on. I thought he made adjustments, and I learned a lot of the in-game stuff from him. And then, of course, we coached together with Kemper at Catholic, and I learned how to structure practice because I think he probably was the most, I guess, set up for success in every game based on our practices. I thought we were prepared for anything at any time. And then I got to coach with a Hall of Fame coach, Kenny Allman, who kind of was a combination of those. But I would say probably my biggest strength right now here at Santa Monica is the development of our program and the kids that we have in it, holding them accountable, using that as kind of our bridge to the accountability on the floor. We've done a really good job, and of course with my assistant coaches that are great as well, of making sure kids are, you know, held accountable on campus, held accountable on the court. So I think that's probably one of my biggest strengths, and I think that's brought us a lot of success over the years, is just that accountability and standard. You know, as far as the basketball coaching goes, you know, I like to think that we have a good feel of the game as it's going on, but I do think that our kids being held accountable is our biggest strength that we do in our program.
Yeah, that's good. You mentioned some on the floor stuff, and you know, we're kind of reminiscing over just like our past experiences as coaches. I know one thing that we talk about a lot is like how we've changed over the years too. I know.
Some
changes. I mean, we in our team
changed a ton.
Yeah, and like if you go back to even like our days working together at Catholic, or your experiences working for Kenny, like you said, like I think our teams look a lot different, although we've taken a lot of the great things that we learned from those coaches.
100%. 100%.
You've kind of made the shift to, I guess, first you made the shift to more of a conceptual offense, running some similar things that we've run in the past. Tell me a little bit about like what led you to jump in on just more of a conceptual offense approach, although you're a master at teaching motion too, which is conceptual. What led you to that, and how has that experience been?
So I'll tell you, funny, because we talked about this years ago, how we learned from other sports and other coaches. And so I did a freshman football year where I helped out and coached freshman football. And I found it really intriguing that we did the offensive side of the ball, and I didn't even know the defensive players. They did their side of the ball, and then we come together and do our stuff. And doing that was 2020, right after COVID, when we got back to school. Doing that, I came up with this, you know, amazing idea that I was going to have an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator as my assistant coaches. So we sat down, and this was, in 2020, and my assistant coach, Coach Jeremy, he wanted to be the offensive guy. So we kind of shifted all those kind of responsibilities, and I basically sat down with him and said, we'll run whatever you want to run. And I kind of gave him that freedom. I'm like, just run it by me. Make sure, we're good with it. But And then I had another coach, Coach G. He took the defense, and we started that no middle defense. He bought into that, and he taught the kids well, and we used that. And then Jeremy used some Brad Underwood stuff. And then after that season, we had a good year, but that Underwood stuff kind of catered towards our personnel. And then after that year, Coach Jeremy came to me and said he watched some of the stuff on your YouTube stuff and was like, we're ready to go all in with Coach Mark and his stuff. And I was all on board because playing against you guys over the years, it was very difficult to defend. And so then we kind of shifted into that, and that was about 4 years ago. So now our seniors are running, you know, your stuff, and they don't know anything else. So we've gotten pretty good at it, I believe. And Jeremy does a great job of, you know, tweaking it and of course, consulting with you. And you know, our kids really love the offense. They really do. Like, it's not – we've gone from flex to Underwood stuff. Now we're into this, and I almost feel like that this is where we belong, you know, in general. And I think our kids really love the pace and the way that we play offensively.
Yeah, what do you feel like what has been a benefit of making this change that you maybe didn't foresee? So, like, you wanted something.
We wanted something fun. Let's be honest. I mean, as a coach, you want something kids are going to buy into and they're going to love and they're going to enjoy doing. You know, you can run your set motion offense and all that stuff. And I just felt like it got bland and it kind of got stale on us at times. I think the big advantage that we've done that's changed our program offensively in the last 4 years is we're not developing plays or actions. We're developing players. And I think our skill level has changed dramatically. I mean, dramatically. Our kids are so much more skilled in starting, stopping, shooting, you know, reading defenses, reading closeouts. And when we taught those other things in the past, those weren't points of emphasis. Maybe they should have been. But I think you kind of opened the door for us, and our practices changed. Everything changed. And really, you know, it's been amazing. It really has. And I would recommend, and I try to recommend to other friend coaches to get into this system and try and, you know, develop these players and do that. Now the basketball is so athletic, the way we're playing, we're matching that athleticism, even though we might not be as athletic.
Yeah, no, I was going to actually, I'm glad you said that, because that was my answer too. Like, when I started doing this, there were so many things where, like, man, I tell people all the time that, like, hey, how did you get into this business? Like, a lot of it is just like, man, we just, like, we were early adopters. So I feel like we were doing things before everybody was doing it, but also just kind of luck, man. Like, I would get on the court and I would start teaching something and I'm like, oh, well, like, this fits into our, like, skill development, or I'm doing something skill development. I'm like, wait a second, this is, like, fitting into our offense. So, like, it just kind of, like, I didn't even know that that was going to be, like, a benefit of playing more conceptual and just more free. But then all of a sudden it's like, all right, if when we're working offense, we're working our skill development. When we're working our skill development, it's all how it fits into the offense. And before, man, like, my skill development was like, hey, let's do some two ball dribble. Let's, like, hammer out some Mikens and, like, hey, maybe this helps us. Like, I don't know, you know? And then, you know.
Yes, I agree. I mean, that is true.
Yeah. And like, you're going to shoot the ball a lot. You're going to create a lot of threes. So, like, we better be shooting the ball. I tell people all the time, like, our practices now are like, we're playing 5-on-5. We're playing some type of small sided game. Whoa, my camera just zoomed in. Or, we're shooting, and like, that's really it. Like, those are the buckets that you cover, and it makes practice planning fun, but also simplified.
Right. And I think also what it did for us, you know, in years past, you know, you're going to compete, you're going to keep a score, or you're going to, you know, justify one team won because they were whatever. But I think with this system, the way we're playing small sided games, the way we're doing little things, it's easy for those kids to understand scoring and how they're competing in those drills. And I can't say enough good things. We have improved our program because of this, and there's no question about it.
Thank you, man. Well, it's been fun to see y'all's evolution. I've seen some film. You're a premium member. We break down film for our premium members. And I've actually had a chance to be on the court with your guys too, some, and man, you've got a great group, and it's been cool to see y'all's evolution on both sides of the ball. I know you have started your lock left journey this year. Before we go lock left, let's do one more offensive question. What has been y'all's biggest area of growth? So I'm assuming y'all have run this, maybe I'm going to guess like 3-4 years. What's been the biggest area that either like, man, like this was a pain point and we finally broke through, or just like something you're most proud of that your team's doing this year?
There's a lot, to be honest. If you go back 4 years and you look at where we are now to where we were 4 years ago. And like I said, these freshmen came in, that's when we started the system. Well, they were year two of the system. So year one, I want to say it was more of a, what the heck are we doing? Let's try and figure this out. And we did a good job. We did. We played well. The second year, we were able to make some tweaks and really kind of understand why we were doing what we were doing. And I think, you know, one area that we, you know, I wouldn't say struggled with, but one focus was shooting. You know, we would shoot, but what were we really shooting? What drills were we doing? We were running drills for flex. We were running drills for, you know, spread. And then now this offense has allowed us to really develop good shooters. And I think, you know, like you said a minute ago, when you were talking about structuring your practice, you know, we're spending 20 minutes, 30 minutes on shooting, whether it be individual, team, whatever it is. And we feel like that's a great use of time. It's not like we're just filling it in practice. We're seeing the results on the back end. So I would say shooting probably has been the biggest significant difference. And I say that because we always had a kid or two that could shoot it. Okay. Over the years, every team's got a kid or one or two that can make shots. But now I feel like we're to the point, and this season is a special group of kids. They're fantastic kids, or they're good basketball players. But right now we have five guys on the court that can make a shot, where in years past we had two. But now we have guys that are confident because we practice the way we do, because we do the things we do. And they've been doing it for 4 years. They're confident when they get the ball on that perimeter that, you know, if there's space, they're going to let it go. And, you know, we feel good about it. And so much so, we sometimes fuss at them when they don't shoot open shots. Which was very different concept than probably when we were at Catholic High, or, you know, even when I was at EA for those years. You know, we weren't so excited about everybody shooting. But now that's one thing that I would say it's kind of changed everything, because if you can shoot it, then it opens up all kinds of
stuff. Shooting unlocks everything. And listening, and you want to incorporate more shooting in your practice, and you're curious about how to do that. Travis said they shoot for 20, 30 minutes a day. I would agree. I think at least 20 minutes, try to aim for 30. If you're struggling to do that, here's the way that I plan all my practices now. I would leave 15 minutes of space in every single practice plan. That way we're not like, so regimented of like, hey, we have to get to the next game. We got to get to the next drill. Leave space. That way you might see something. Like, your team's always going to show you what you need to coach. So we're playing 5-on-5 and no one's rebounding. Well, we got space to just stop and focus on some rebounding. And we might do that with a game sandwich where we play a game, we stop, we do a drill to teach or train something, and then we go back to the game and see what transfers. Let's say we don't use that extra 15 to 20 minutes. Well, then there's your 15 minutes to 20 minutes of built-in shooting time. So just always have a shooting segment. And then some days, like if we get through everything and we feel really good, well, we're going to end 15 minutes early and kind of everybody's happy, right? Like, players are leaving the gym with some juice, which I think adds a lot of value when they come back the next day.
I think it was kind of funny. You know, Coach and I were at practice. It was probably early September, and we start putting in no middle on that day, and just working on some closeouts, working on some stuff. And then after practice, Coach Jeremy said, "Have you seen this lock left stuff?" And I was like, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And he started to talk a little about it. He goes, "I haven't watched a ton on it, but it seems interesting." I said, okay, well, so I think we both went home, watched some lock left stuff, and then I think I had a conversation with you about it, and you suggested it, And I can tell you that it has been wonderful for us. It has been great.
What, tell me about
our kids
that.
Bought into it early.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, what, so like a no middle to lock left. What have you enjoyed about it? And then what have the players enjoyed about it?
I think it's easier than running no middle. I think all the concepts in general, I think they really simplify. So if you have multi-sport athletes, of which we do, I think the concepts are very easy to pick up. There's some no middle involved in it, obviously. But I think it was easy for our transition kids to come in and hit the ground running. And our kids bought into it. We have a guy that does a really, really good job as the Wolf. We have a couple, but one in particular, and he's just having a great year on both ends of the floor. And I think it is attributed to the fact that he is the Wolf in our lock left. I think he's bought into, we're going to bring him to the left side. We're going to keep him on the left side. I don't want to say what I would normally say, but he's kind of got, you know, that toughness about him that he takes pride in it. And so he kind of leads our defense, to be honest with you. He does such a great job, and he's so intense and physical that the other guys just fall in line, and we just kind of fill those positions. You know, I think early on we struggled with some things, but we're getting better at it. I mean, obviously there's more growth to come with it, but I think where we're at right now, we're in a good place.
All right, so it's year one running lock left. You're loving it. Players are loving it. What is something that you would recommend? Let's say if you could rewind to August of this year and you were going to reinstall, what would you do differently? So give some advice to a coach that's about to implement lock left.
I think the one – well, there's two areas that we are, I would say, not as good as I'd like it to be right now. And one is the actual matching up of – players. So when we're in lock left, you know, our Wolf's out there turning the ball, our snipe's picking up the guy that inbounded the ball, our gap is in good position. It's the back two guys sometimes that are struggling to match. A lot of teams are thinking that we're pressing, so they're like going to scramble or something out of it, and they're putting a guy in the middle. Well, that happened a couple times two nights ago, and the nail went and picked up the middle guy. So we kind of figured that out. Whereas they're getting back and looking at who they're going to match up with. And sometimes they were getting confused. So that was one area that if I was doing it over, I would suggest more that it's a matchup on the back end than get to the nail, get to the, you know, our goalie still, we call it our goalie. He still gets to the left side block. He's there, but he has to understand that he is matched up. So in the first game we played this year, we lost. That was a struggle for us where we couldn't figure out with the nail and the goalie who to match up with. So I think if there's one thing I would go back and do, like that would be maybe communicate it a little differently. Like we're not just running to a zone spot, that we are running to an area, but you're matching up as well. I think that was important. That was an important part of our growth in this in the last probably 3 weeks, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And really it took games to figure that out, you know, because we play in practice and they would just, you know, we'd play against our offense and they could match up and figure it out. But when teams were giving us different alignments and different looks, that kind of exposed that, hey, we needed to change some of this. I'm not going to say terminology, but maybe change some of the thinking on the back end.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And that's a common shift that we've seen for like first year adopters too. And my recommendation is always like, just get your team matching up first.
That's right. And that's then, kind of where we're at. Like, hey, match, but this is still your responsibility or your role. And really kind of figuring out that the first three guys, the snipe, the Wolf and the gap, they're kind of the most important in that initial transition of offense. And then the other two guys just kind of match up. And that's kind of what we did. That was one thing that, I guess if I went back and retaught it, or we went back and redid that, and you came and helped us with that as well, but maybe I would communicate that a little bit better. And then the other area that we have to improve on, and I think this is probably pretty common in this defense, is if I'm the Wolf and they pass to the left side where we want them to go, they're going towards jail, that the Wolf becomes the snipe. And I think that's an area that we have, I'm not going to say struggled with, but I think it's a concept that has been the most difficult for those kids to understand, that when you're, you know, one pass away from the jail, you're in snipe.
Yep.
And that when that ball gets moved quickly, I find that we're struggling to understand the concept that I got to get into snipe. And we've talked about it and addressed it, and we're getting better at it. But I think that, you know, a basketball player's mindset is, I got to get into help. I got to get into, you know, moved with the ball. You know, for 100 years, it was like, as the ball moves, the defender moves. And that is true in this case, but he moves differently.
Yeah.
He moves to deny rather than to get into a gap or get into some kind of help. But again, we were improving on that, and I think it's helping our defense. We're getting more turnovers. And it's going well. And we got from you guys, we stole it from y'all, or whatever you want to call it. We've been doing this psycho inbounds, and we've created more turnovers and deflections and problems for people. And if I was a coach listening to this, then I would go dive into y'all's information on that. Teams aren't scoring based on out of bounds on us anymore. And in fact, we're getting steals. And on the sideline, we're getting steals. So it's been – that's something that, you know, we're calling that adding to our lock left defense, whatever, all these new concepts. But that has created a lot of turnovers for us, and it's been really, really good.
Man, I love that. I didn't know y'all were doing that. That's good.
Yeah. We found that, and we started doing it. And again, you know, it's one of those concepts like the wolf. If you get a kid to buy into that, and they got a guy that's guarding the inbounder, and he really wants to get a hand on the ball or make it really difficult, man, it's exciting to watch. Like, we have a quick little guard. The other night, they were throwing the ball on the side, and he looked over at Coach Jeremy, said, "Watch this." And they were throwing it in right in front of our bench, and he got his whole hand on the ball, stole it, and went and laid it in. I mean, it was just, you know, just it that's been another really good part of what we've been doing in the last couple of weeks that are different that you guys gave to us that's created some success for us for sure.
Yeah. I think, you know, when you're running RDS, I'll call it race, drive, and space, which is a combination of Tyler's race and space, my drive and space, and something like lock left, like, it's so easier to be different than just better than everybody. So like, just the fact that y'all are embracing that is really cool. Your players are enjoying it.
This lock left, you know, I mean, I don't think I ever would have thought it was going to be this disruptive, but it, man, I'm gonna tell you what, it has been fun. The kid, like I said, you know, we have a great group of seniors now. Don't get me wrong. We got kids that are die for the cause kids. But man, it was so easy for them to buy into, hey, look, we're not going to let anybody do what they want to do tonight. Like, we're playing a team tonight that runs 5, 6, 7, 8 set plays. Years past, we're going to walk through and guard every one of those. This is how we're going to defend it. We're just going to tell them at scout, they run all these plays, but they're not going to be able to run any of them. So there's really not much point of me walking through each one. That the whole deal has been really, really fun, and really, we've really enjoyed it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on, man. For coaches that want to look into the full psycho based on out of bounds defense, so you have the course. It's layer 10. We have updated our course. I'll call it Lock Left 2.0, which is in our membership. If you have bought a course of Lock Left and you want to go deeper, you want to get in as a member and be able to ask these questions to me or connect with Coach Uzi, who's doing a phenomenal job. He mentioned, his team's enjoying it. They're 9-2 on this season. They've got it rolling. So if you want to connect with them, hop in and I'll refund your course purchase. Just shoot me a DM after you join. Say, hey, I bought Lock Left. I'm now a member, and I'll give you a full refund. So Travis, thanks for hopping on, man. Excited anytime, to see how this season goes.
Appreciate it. Anytime.
Later. Stay savvy.
All right, buddy. Later.